While imprisoned, Paul wrote a love letter to the church in Philippi. This church was the first in Europe. Let's listen to his praiseworthy comments, recorded in Philippians 1. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I thank my brother in Christ for sharing those words. Thanks, JP, for that reading. Would you please join with me in an attitude of prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your word. It's not simply ink on paper. It is alive. It speaks to us. Keep us humbled as we receive it. It's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. I have learned a couple of things just recently. I have learned that whenever you're talking to somebody on the phone and you're sharing with them, Judy gave me a job to prepare for our open house that I can't screw up, you probably will. And you'll probably cut your thumb right after you say that to that person. So you need to concentrate whenever you're working on things, especially when you're using knives. I've learned also that whenever you're eating something that says that it's hot and spicy at Panda Express, and the brother in Christ sitting across the table from you notices your head getting redder and redder, it's because there's truth in advertising. That's a reality. I've also noticed that during this time of year, we can become inundated with stuff, things, events. Anybody feeling inundated? Just say amen. Wow, that's a lot. You need to cross at least a couple things off your calendar. And I have learned that whenever it's about God, whenever the focus is on God, it will be a blessing. Whenever God isn't in it, isn't in the plans, it's doomed to failure. Paul, in writing to the church at Philippi, wrote words that often I include on a note to people. Philippians 1:3. I thank my God every time I remember you. It's because it's true. That's what the church is called to be. The church is called to be a place where we learn, where we grow. I shared some things that I've learned by mistakes that I've made. But a church is a place where we come even because of the mistakes or no matter because of the mistakes. We come here as we really are. We come here open. We come here vulnerable. And we come here ready to receive God's love. It's a place where that can happen. There are a few places like that in our world, in our society, where we can come just as we are and know that we are going to be received and loved. A church is that place. In fact, it's probably the last place in the world where we can really do that. That's why the church is more important now than ever before. And that's why I'd like you to take this bulletin home today. And rather than folding it up someplace or using it as a coaster for coffee, or an airplane, or anything else that you might normally do. I'm not sure. I'd like you to actually read through this scripture once again, because these words provide very beautiful guidance, very clear guidance for the modern day church as well. I am confident of this, Paul says, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. For us, God's timing becomes most essential then. It's not about scurrying about trying to get things done before a certain date. It is about being aware of God's presence in the moment, being in God's timing, not simply saying to God again and again and again, "Are we there yet?" But rather saying, "Lord, I receive you right here, right now, on this date, in this time, in this moment in history." Anybody who's heard that on a journey knows that that can be kind of annoying. If anybody's ever said to you, "Are we there yet?" Oftentimes in our actions, we're conveying that to God. Are we there yet? Is it time? We don't know the time or the place. We don't know the date when Jesus is going to be coming in his glory again to bring the kingdom of God into full manifestation on earth. But we do know in the meantime, just as Paul wrote these words to the early church, now the present day church, we are called to simply be open to what God is guiding us to do. Not to be urgent or frantic about the journey, but to be open to the blessings that God wants to fill our lives with. Doesn't that sound good today? I'm really not going to give you another deadline in this sermon. I'm not going to say you need to do this by this. Yeah, I guess I did say something about that with the angel tree earlier, didn't I? By Friday, get in your gifts. But as far as your personal saving relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and as far as how you know God intimately, and as far as how God knows you intimately, as far as the intimacy of that relationship, that back and forth dialogue between you and the creator of the universe, be open to the timing that God is putting you in right now. Is it a time of discernment? Is it a time of healing? Is it a time of renewal? Is it a time of receiving? Is it a time of giving? Paul was thankful to the early church for them, for how they were open as they were challenged and as they were beaten and as they were in a very difficult place. He was thankful for their faithfulness. And today, we can be thankful for the faithfulness of one another. The person that you're sitting next to, their faithful witness. The person in front, the person behind, the gathering. In every face, in every eye that you make connection with, in every hug that you embrace. That, my friends, builds something greater than an institution. It builds the kingdom of God. God is going to bless you today. We call it communion. And we've become familiar with it. We come forward, we receive the body, we receive the blood. I'd like the communion stewards, those who are going to be serving, to come forward at this time. And we receive those gifts of grace, certainly. But today, I would like you to think about it as an actual blessing of God's touch in your life, that you're literally tasting of God's goodness, that God is saying to you, stop, receive my grace, remember what this means. Because in this body, the one whose birth we await is lifted up. And we remember that as we take this gift, we are joined together, not only as brothers and sisters in Christ, but we are joined together as God's church, as the body of Christ in the world. Bless this element, Heavenly Father, and join us together in love as your church. And as we receive the cup of thanksgiving and grace, we know that we also receive forgiveness. And when we remember what this means, what this signifies, being poured out for us, an incredible love, a forgiveness, a welcome, if you will, and an embrace by God, saying to us, no matter what sins, no matter what brokenness, no matter what pain, no matter how you've turned from me, I'm receiving you in this element once again, and I love you as my children.